Talk real quick about what John spoke about in the video. So yes, next Sunday, one service in person at 10:30. Y'all say 10:30. 10:30, that's important to remember. So 10:30, so if you come this normal time, you will be late. So also looking at you online, family. So new service at 9 a.m., but also online at 10:30 there. So let's get started about today. I want to jump right in to our story today. We've been walking through the story of Joshua and the children of Israel as they claim the promised land. And today, finally, glory, hallelujah, we're crossing the Jordan River. So that's what we're going to start today. Joshua 4. Let's start reading. Verse 1. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Choose 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. We'll get that in a second. Carry them with you and set them down in the place where you're spending the night. Verse 4. So Joshua summoned the 12 men he had selected from the Israelites, each man from each tribe, and said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone onto his shoulders, one for each of the Israelite tribes, so that this will be a sign among you. And then we're going to jump to verse 20. Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. This is so that all the people, y'all say all the people, of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. Have you ever walked into a room on an important task, and then as soon as you get into the room, you can't remember why you went in there? Isn't that the most frustrating thing ever? And doesn't it make you just feel like, I'm losing my mind? Age has finally caught up with me, right? That's how I feel. Or when you have to stop somewhere important after work, and then you get in your car, and you zone out. And then you show up and you walk in, and in my case, it's my wife's like, well, did you stop at the grocery store? No, but I can go back if that will keep me out of trouble, right? Because isn't it crazy how our memory works? Like we can focus on something and know it's an important task, but then one little thing can pull us off track, and then we completely blank out, completely forget. Like, we have a whole culture now, even with our technology, all about reminders, right? Like, I'm an Apple guy, and so I'm telling Siri all the time, remind me about this, put this on my calendar. Like, I have a work schedule, a personal schedule, a family schedule, you know, all of these things to keep our lives in motion, because honestly, we just forget. But the crazy thing about memory, though, is it's like it's weak in some areas. Like, it's so hard to remember the things you're supposed to remember. But isn't it funny how all it takes is a smell or a sound or a song, and like it can transport you 20 years before? Like, you ever had that happen? Like, you walk in, it's like, that smells like mama's cooking, right? Like, oh man, or that smells like dad's cologne, or this smells like this, and sometimes it's attached to bad memories. But the things that we need to remember are so quickly and easily forgotten, and so we need reminder devices, whether it's a phone, or how many of y'all were sticky note people? Or maybe you still are, you sticky note people. Like, we went to your desk at work, it's just like sticky notes everywhere. Like, it blew up, a sticky note bomb. You're like, good Lord, the type A's are the real stressed out people. You're like, you need to clean that up. I saw one guy, he used to drive around town, y'all might know him, like an electrician, had nothing but Post-it notes on his windshield. It's like, he has a system though. You can't blame the man for having a system, right? Whatever works, or a rubber band that you pop on your wrist, whatever. Well, here's the thing. Reminders point us back so we can move forward. Like, reminders are an important device in our life, whatever you use, whether it's an electronic thing or a mental game or whatever you play, or even ways of remembering things. Reminders point us back so we can move forward. So what we have in this story is the children of Israel are finally, after 40 years, they're crossing the Jordan, that line in the sand that was keeping them away from the promise of God. And so what we see at the end of chapter 3 is that Joshua gets everybody together, gets all the people together, and the priest with the Ark of the Covenant go first. Y'all, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, remember that thing they carry on shoulders, Indiana Jones movie, opened it, a ghost came out or something. Anyway, that's not really what happens, just a good movie. So they cross over, the priest, they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and Scripture tells us that as soon as the first priest put his foot down on the water receded. We saw that too. Where did that happen? Red Sea. Y'all can talk. We have coffee for you people. Drink your coffee before you come in here. That's a new rule. So they put their foot down, just like the Red Sea, the Jordan, the waters part two. And so here now we have another crossing of a large body of water on dry land. But in this case, the priests, the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant had to stand just holding in the middle of the Jordan River. So all the people cross, a good many people cross. It took some time. And they get to the other side. Everybody's probably throwing parties like, woo, woo, Jordan crossing parties. And then Joshua's like, all right, before we get going, we need to do something. God has instructed us to send 12 guys representing each tribe of Israel. Remember, because Jacob had 12 sons, that's where the 12 tribes come from. Send 12 guys back to the middle of the Jordan and get some rocks. Now, this is important. Because previously, those rocks were under what? Water. And so they were going to be an important reminder for something we're going to see in a minute. He says, go get those 12 rocks, and we're going to take them back to camp. And so they go grab the rocks. They're not like little pebbles, like when you go to the mountains, like, oh, look at this little shiny rock, and all this kind of stuff, and I'm going to save this, and you lost it on the way home already, or you find it later on, like a year. And so it's like, no, these are really, really large, heavy boulder rocks. They take them back, and they build, basically, a monument. They build, quite literally, a reminder. Because in life, just in our personal lives, in our spiritual life, we tend to forget things, don't we? Like, I find it so uncanny in my life that God can bring me through the most incredible thing, but when I head into the next thing, I forget all about it. It's uncanny. Like we forget, we quickly forget God's promises when we're in a hard place. We quickly forget His forgiveness when we're down on ourselves. We quickly forget His goodness, His favor, and we certainly often forget His faithfulness. And so what God was doing with the children of Israel is before He sends them into battle, before He gets them to take the land, God does something really striking and really unique and something that should serve as a very important idea for us in our life. He says, before you go any further, I need you to remember this day, and I need you to go get some rocks from a place that previously you couldn't get to. Matter of fact, you couldn't get through. Why? Because my hand held back the waters. And so I need you to have a memento, a reminder that in days to come, when things get hard, because they will, that you can look back and say, I remember that day. Or, my dad or my granddad told me about that day. That was the day when God held back the waters and we as a people crossed the Jordan River. So today we're going to talk about two specific reminders. And we kind of see this breakdown right here in Joshua 4, starting in verse 24. We're going to read this quick verse. We already read this, but this is going to set the stage for our reminders. It says, So this is that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong, and so that you may always fear, remember the Lord your God. So, reminder number one. This is a really big one. Reminder number one. It's all about God. It's all about God. Literally, this is His story. Have you ever noticed in a good movie, it doesn't take long for you to not only know who the main character is, but a good movie, a good story even, really helps you buy into that character. Like the best characters are always written in a way that all of us, all the different types and pieces and different kinds of people that are in the room or in the world, we can usually connect. We can find some form of connection to that character. And so the story or the movie that you're watching is that character's story of development. Well, we also like to think that we are the center of our own story. And we know that's technically not the truth, but we live as such. That's why when we're kids, our parents have to tell you, the world doesn't revolve around you, does it? Now, remember your mom and daddy telling you that? You remember telling that to your kids? Probably telling your kids now if you have kids. Like, but think about it. So we have a little girl, you know, 4 months old now. And right now, technically, the world and our family does revolve around her. Like, we jump too as soon as she cries. I mean, you know, she sleeps in our bedroom, and so she even gets to disrupt our sleep. I send them other boys back to bed. Like, don't bother me, right? Because the world doesn't revolve around you, but right now the world does seem to revolve around her. And then when they get older, you have to start breaking that cycle. But the fact is, it never really gets broken in our heart. Because every day I wake up and I think about how the world actually seems to revolve around me, at least from my perspective. And so do you. It's your life. It's your body. It's your future. It's your past. It's mine to do as I will, to do as I please, to make the decisions that I want to do. But the fact is, that is a lie. This is his story. History is his story. God is the main character. He is the main event. He's the singular point of which it all began, and he is the point at which there is no end. He is the one who created time, put it into place, and holds it together. This is his story. And this is an important reminder for all of us, because we often think it's ours, and it's not. It's his story. We get to play a part. But here's what's fascinating. It is his story, but then in his infinite wisdom and grace and mercy, he allows us to make decisions within his story. And one of the most wonderful things and one of the most scary things, honestly, is that God has given you even the will to make decisions about yourself in his story. And that's why church and the gospel and all those things are important, because God is giving all of us the invitation to stop living in your story and actually to start living in his. Like, that's one of the reminders that when you live into your story, we often see how those conclusions come out. Do you know that when you live according to your story, it's always a tragedy? It might be a dramatic comedy at some point too, but it's always going to end up in tragedy. Your life amongst your story, if you were writing it however you wanted to, it will always end up in tragedy, because sin always separates and it always leads to death. But there's another story. There's another story that we get to be a part of, and it's not a tragedy. It's something so much better. There really is, even though there's no category. It's a heroic epic, because it's a God who stepped into time and space, into the mix and the mess of the people who created, to redeem them from the mix and the mess. Like, what a powerful story that is, because why? It's his story. It's his story of redemption. It's his story of salvation. It's his story of creation. And we have always been meant to play a part, a big part, but it's never our story. That's what the garden was all about. The enemy, the liar, Satan was like, you know, if you eat this, it becomes about your story and not his. It's all about his story. Because see, when we think it's about us, which we usually do, it's my problems, my ideas, my dreams, my life. But none of this is really true if God really is the king of the universe and the king of your heart. See, this sounds so elementary, but often it's the simple things that are most difficult. Amen? You ever notice that? It's always sometimes the most simple things. It's the smallest disciplines that seem to take the most energy. We need constant reminding that it is not by us. It's not dependent on us. Do you realize that the world still rotates whether you choose it does or not? The sun will come up tomorrow. Regardless of how your life or how your day is, it still will. It's not dependent on us. It's not because of us. It's not made by us, and it's not fixed by us, and it's not maintained by us. Matter of fact, this is how John, the Apostle John, who was dear friends with Jesus, this is how he explained it in John 1, starting in verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word in flesh, the Word named Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was God. He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, this is key. All things were what? Created through Him. Made through Him. Maintained through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created and that has been created. There is nothing on this planet, in this universe, in this galaxy, solar system, and all of the above that exists that didn't come from the word and the mouth and the truth of Jesus Christ through God Himself. This is His story. And this is a really big deal because what's happening is the children of Israel are going through and they're going to have an idea of wanting to create their story. Let's go make our story in the new promised land. And see, if it was their story, what they would want to do, this is really interesting. If it was their story, they would want to take mementos from where they had been, right? Like they would want to take rocks from the desert. Like, hey, let's go take these rocks from the desert, the place that we've been spending the last 40 years of our life, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want to bring mementos from a place that we've been. And God says, no, 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 that's not what you need to remember. You don't need to remember where you stayed under your power, because why were they in the desert? Because they disobeyed. Because they didn't have the faith. They didn't have the courage. God says, no, what you need is, you need a reminder of what you're going through and who took you through it. So instead of getting rocks from a desert that you can easily reach, I need you to go get some rocks that you will never be able to have access to again. Go to the rocks in the middle of the Jordan, and that's what you need to remember. What are you remembering? It is that God's hand stopped the waters. It is by His will alone that we walk into this promised land. That's what you need to remember. This is His program. This is His plan. We are His people. Victory and honor are His. So if we want abundant life, we better follow His will for our life, because this story is about Him. And this is really key, because I battled this on my own. This book, well, this is a tablet, but the Bible app is on it, so y'all get the point. Scripture is not just an instruction manual to tell you how to have a good life or a Christian life. It has a lot of wisdom in it, and it tells a lot of truth. But ultimately, what Scripture is, it is God's story of His redemptive progress and process for mankind, of how He is going to make it all right and how it went all wrong. That's what Scripture, it is a unified story that always points back and leads the way to Jesus. It's His story. It's not just a book. Not just an instruction booklet. It's not how to put together a good life. It is God's story and how we can be a part of it. So, reminders point us back so how we can move forward. So, here are like some stones or reminders, right? So, using stones as an allegory. Here are some reminders in our own life. Because the thing is, I don't want you to go out to the river and dive down to the bottom and try to find a stone. That's not the point. It's not the point what we're doing here. There are some reminders in the Christian life that we need to look back to that hold a lot of importance in our lives. So reminder number one is this, is salvation. That should be the first and the foremost reminder that we have in our life. And this is what I mean by that. If you have been raised in or around church and church culture, that does not mean that you have a relationship with Jesus. That means that maybe you know a lot about Jesus. But when I speak of salvation and the reminder of salvation, I really believe, and I think Scripture supports this idea, is that you need to know a unique time and place in your life when you declared with your lips and believed in your heart, as Romans says, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and there was a before and after moment in your life, that there was a transformation that happened, that you are no longer who you used to be. You were in the desert, and now you're on the other side of the Jordan. Y'all kind of get the principle of how that happens, right? And so if you can't identify that time, I would encourage you right now, or go home, or into this message, you make that declaration, and that becomes your moment, because here's why salvation is important. Because when you fall, or when you fail, or when you feel far from the Lord, the first thing the enemy does, he does this to me all the time, and I'm a preacher, is he thinks that God really doesn't love you. He really isn't there for you. I don't even really know Him. And I look back and say, yes, He does. I am known by the Lord. I am loved by the Lord. I am forgiven by the Lord, because I can point back to a date and time that I sat down and I said, Jesus, I ask You to be Lord and Savior of my life. And so the enemy can't take that away from me. That is a reminder to me, and it needs to be a reminder to you. Do you have that reminder? Can you think back to a time? Online, can you think back to a time? If you can't, I encourage you, make today that day. Second reminder is baptism. Baptism signifies going from death to life, and it's a big public display. It's exciting. It's a celebration. It's like a pep rally for Christians. It's a big deal. So if you haven't been baptized, you want to be rebaptized, sign up at the information desk after church. But that itself is a reminder. It displays and shows us what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died, he went into the ground, into the grave, and he came back up alive after 3 days. You don't have to stay in the water for 3 days, though. That would be bad. Would be bad. Maybe 3 seconds would be appropriate. I don't know. But practice holding your breath. All right. Third thing, communion. Communion reminds us of what Jesus has done. Communion is a reminder. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. It reminds us that his body was broken and his blood was shed for you and for me. Four, worship. Worship is a reminder. Do you know that every time we gather here, you worship in your car, you worship at home, you are declaring in that moment. You might not be using these words, but I declare, God, you are the main event of this story. It's not me. That's what worship is. It's declaring something above yourself. And the fact is, if you struggle worshiping, it's probably because you struggle placing anything above yourself. And five, and this is really important. This is kind of where we're going to spend the rest of the day. Is personal testimony. Personal testimony is a key and powerful reminder of what God has done and is doing in your life. And not just for you, not just for you, right? Because remember, what did we read in verse 24? He says, this is so that all the peoples, y'all say all the peoples, see God's story, how it's working in your life isn't just for you and your story. It's for everybody else. It's for those around you. That's why testimony is so powerful. And so here's examples. Past hurts and mistakes help you understand what forgiveness and grace looks like. See, when you go through a time in your life where God radically forgives you and redeems you, it is a powerful reminder of God's goodness and grace to you. Some of the most powerful deep-welled or some of the most mature believers that I know are not people that know all of Scripture, that have been in church for a long time. They're people who have been forgiven of much. Because if you have been forgiven of much, you understand grace much. See, some of us, me included sometimes, who hadn't made some colossal record or something in your life, you know, it's hard to understand maybe what grace is sometimes. But those of you who have been forgiven of much, you understand God's grace in such a powerful way. And so then what you should do is not hide that within. I know it can be scary to share your story, but to say, listen, you might be struggling thinking that God loves you. Let me tell you how much God loves you. Let me use my life as an example, because I was on the other side of the Jordan over here in the desert, and it was terrible. I was lost in sin. I was wrecking my life. I was living out the tragedy. But then God, somebody say, but God. But God happened, and he brought me here, and I am no longer the same. Share your story. That's a reminder for you and for others that God is still in the work of changing people. Another one, past protection is another part of personal testimony. So this is what this means. So several years ago, 10 years or so ago, me and my wife were just first married, you know, first year of marriage, and I was thrown out of a car on the interstate at highway speeds and landed on the interstate. Obviously, that's most car ejections don't even survive. And so I look back at that moment as an extremely powerful reminder that ultimately God is in control of my life and not me. Like, it was a startling, striking moment. Because I'll be honest with you, I was in my early 20s and I felt pretty invincible. You know, like, I was raised in the country riding dirt bikes and stuff like that. Like, I've been hurt, but I'm basically Iron Man, right? Until you have an event which proves to you, like, no, any split second thing outside of your control can happen. Who's in charge here? Wasn't me. I tried to grab the old crap bar. You know what? Still flung out the car. I couldn't fit outside of a window if I tried, but somehow I did that day, and yet God protected me. And so that's my reminder. Anytime that I'm struggling to wonder if God cares about me, I look back and say, God, if you wanted me home, I would be home, but I'm here, so I have a purpose. That's my reminder. And I would say that a lot of you have something, maybe not quite that drastic or quite that dangerous, but listen, if you look back over the arc of your life, it's easy to start to identify like, woo, Lord, protecting me from them, from being with that group. If I had said yes, look where I had have been. If I didn't say yes, look where I had been. God's protective hand has been over me every single day of my life, and I didn't even know it. But the reminder of looking back and saying, Lord, you were doing more for me than I could ever comprehend. I think when we get to heaven, just my opinion, but I think when we get to heaven, and I don't know if there's going to be like some kind of, heaven slideshow of our life, but I just get the feeling that there will be a knowing because we will no longer be held back by sin and by shame and regret and all the things that weigh us down here. We'll finally be free. That I think we will have this moment of just awe of how instrumental God's hand was in our everyday life. Like maybe he's keeping me from choking on my toothbrush because I'm just not that bright sometimes. You know, from just stupid stuff that I do. But God's in control. Now, that doesn't mean that you go and do stupid stuff, by the way. You know, be smart. There are consequences. But God's past protection. And lastly, past healing. From sickness, from disease, mental healing, emotional healing, all of those things point back to a God who ultimately has all authority, who is in the business of healing people, who is in the business of saving people. And so a reminder for you and for others is to look back and say, God, I remember when you healed me. I remember when you protected me. I remember when you saved me. And if you can get me through that river, you can get me through this one too. Pull those stones with you. Take them with you. Carry them with you. So that leads us to reminder number two. The reminder number two is tell your story. You need to know your story. But reminder number two is you need to tell your story. Have you ever noticed that you can see a billboard for a restaurant 100 times and you may never go there? But one good friend tells you how awesome it is and you're like, I'm going tomorrow. Or one friend tells you how awful it is and you're like, I'm never going. Why? Because we are wired to listen, understand, and believe something when told by somebody we trust. Word of mouth advertising is the most powerful thing. I can post on Facebook all the time about why you should come to church, but it's through you inviting people. We just know that. That's just been known. And so the same thing happens to the reminders of your personal testimony, of your story. So you need to learn to share your story, what God has brought you through, what he has saved you from, how he has healed you, how he is still changing and maturing you, and what you were excited about in your faith journey. And I know that sounds startling and scary because here's the thing. This is really, really key. In Western Christian society, we have made Christianity to be this very private, like almost in the closet thing, like it's my faith and it's a part of who I am, but I don't display that out in the world. And that's just not how it happens. That's not how we're effective Christian believers. If this is really God's story, that means everybody on the outside of it isn't living in his story. They're still in the tragedy. And we're all over here on the good side enjoying the happy clappy. Woo! God is good. It's like, I'm sorry, but it's my personal. No, learn to share your story. Because people need to hear the truth. And it doesn't need to come from people like me. Because there's hundreds and thousands of people like me. And they don't listen to them either. But they will listen to you. Because you have a story to tell. If you're a Christian believer, you have a story to tell. This is how I can prove it to you. 1 Peter, this is the Apostle Peter, the Simon Peter, writes in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. He says, come to Jesus Christ. He is the living stone that people have rejected, but God has chosen and highly honored. Now 5, and now you are living stones. Ooh, feeling the tie-in all of a sudden, right? Talk about rocks today. Talking about stones. You now are living reminders that are being used to build a spiritual house. Here's a key one. You are also a group of holy priests. Do you know he's not talking to me? He's talking to you. Congratulations on the promotion. Everybody just got a promotion today. I am not the only holy priest in the building here. I'm not the only pastor in the building. You all, and get this, this is all throughout Scripture, then just here. You are all commissioned by and through the Spirit of God to be holy priests, to be witnesses, to be workers for the kingdom of God. You are to go out and tell people how this Jesus, this man, this dead and resurrected man saved your life. He changed your life. See, we are all holy priests. It's not just me. You know what that means? I just have a gift of teaching. This is how I help edify the body of Christ. We are all to bring to the table together. We're all one body. We're all ministers of the gospel. All of us. All of you. You online. Everybody. So you know what that means, though? I did think about this, and this is just going to throw this out there. You know, it's interesting being a pastor. So this is probably something all of y'all can't experience, but I've lived in church world a long time, been a pastor for a long time. There is a unwritten set of standards and expectations that I have to assume to live by, such as, I hear this phrase like, "All pastor, you should be listening to this. All pastor, you can't say this." You know, I don't know, whatever. And that's fine. That's just, I take that mantle, whatever. Because everybody thinks that I should be something separate and apart. And I do agree that to some extent. I need to try to live to a higher standard if I'm going to be able to preach and teach to you guys. But you are also holy priests. So you know what that means? You're the same as me. So if you don't think I should be doing it, you probably shouldn't be doing it either. If I shouldn't be saying it, you shouldn't be saying it either. If I shouldn't say it online, you shouldn't say it either. So if at any point you're about to say, do, or act, I want you to think, what would I think if Pastor Dustin did this? What do I think if Pastor Artie did this and say, and if you think, well, I'd lose respect for him. There's your answer. Because we're all holy priests. So, this story about the stones should be important for us. So I'm going to change gears now for a second right at the end here. And I want to talk to specifically parents and grandparents too, I think. Anybody that's looking to build a legacy past your generation, I guess. So really anybody, but specifically the parents and grandparents, they have children. So at the end of this chapter, starting in verse 20, so Joshua 4, verse 20, it says, "Then Joshua set up in Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. And he said to the Israelites, he said to the whole assembly, he said, in the future, when your children ask their fathers, when they ask their parents and the grandparents, what is the meaning of these stones? You should tell your children blank. You should tell them that it's because of the strong hand of the Lord. It's because of his mighty power and will that the waters stop flowing." See, I've shared this story before. I'll probably continue sharing it my whole life because it's that impactful. It's that powerful. See, because I was raised in church, I'm just use my example. Because I was raised in church, you know, and my parents were first. Let me start there. My parents were first generation Christians, right? So my mother received the Lord at Bible school. My father in his early adulthood or teenage years. And so they didn't have any outside help and experience, you know. So it wasn't like I'm a legacy Christian or something that maybe some of you are, maybe some of you aren't. And so there's a lot of hope here for both stories. And so they themselves had to find and seek and serve the Lord on their own. And it was hard at times. There were a lot of hurts and there were a lot of mistakes. And they had passed even before they were married. And so even though I was raised in church, went to a Christian school for a while, like I could tell you the books of the Bible by the time I was like 8. I could tell you Bible verses and all that from the outside. I'd be like, wow, what a great little Christian dude. None of that, though, has helped me long-term to keep my faith. That's just not what did it. It's not what did it. You know what did it? It was their transparency of the mistakes they had made, how God was working in them, and what he brought them through. It was that. It was them being willing to be transparent and share their story with me and my siblings. And so when I go through moments of crisis, I'll be honest with you, like I know a lot of scripture and truth. And there are times when even the best Bible verse just doesn't seem to move my wounded spirit. But what does is I look back and I remember how God has been faithful to my family for years. Because what you're creating here is, I'm going to call it the arc of redemption. The arc meaning the trajectory of redemption. So like when you shoot an arrow, it goes up and it shoots over and it comes down. And that's called the trajectory. And so whether you know it or not, you are shooting some sort of trajectory, spiritually, emotionally, for your children. But if you're not being transparent, you're not sharing a trajectory of letting them know how God's using. You're not setting an example of reminders. But because my parents were able to set a trajectory of transparency, and they shared their past mistakes. Like, I've lived a life that I haven't lived because of them being honest with me. Like, I've been through experiences that I didn't have to experience the pain directly because they shared it with me. They struggled in their faith, but yet I got to see how good God is over and over and over and over. And I pray and beg the Lord that I have the wisdom to do the same for my children. Because it isn't going to be bringing them to church every Sunday. That's important. Bring them to church. It's not praying with them every night. That's important. Bring them to church. It's you being transparent and say, honey, sweetie, son, let me tell you about a stone that God told me to keep with me from the depths of one of the deepest rivers of my life. You know, let me tell you the mistakes that mommy or daddy made in some of my relationships. Let me tell you about how mommy or daddy messed up and we said the wrong thing or we did the wrong thing. But let me tell you, though, that because God is so good and God loves me so much and he loves you so much too. So we're not just preaching at them, we're sharing with them. Like, that is the gospel. And here's the thing, if you can't share your personal testimony with your children, you're certainly not going to share it with anybody else. So if you want to build a legacy, let that be your legacy. Because I think sometimes as a parent, I want to be the perfect father, you know? I want to be a great dad. I want to let my kids down. But that's so funny, because the thing that makes me love my parents the most, it's because they weren't perfect. I got to see all those imperfections and all those conversations and all those mistakes and how even some of those consequences, like, you need to let your kids know how consequences follow you, because maybe they're still following you. But say that God is still so gracious in the middle of all that, though, honey. He's still so gracious, still so loving, and there's still so much mercy. And mommy and daddy have made mistakes in our marriage, or we've done things, we've said things. But none of that stopped God from loving us. There's nothing you can do that God will stop loving you. He loves you and he pursues you. So you can paint this arc of redemption over the life of your family. So, in conclusion, reminders point us back so that we can move forward. So I want to end on this. It's about time to go. We're going to sing a song that talks about what this verse says. I just want to share this last verse with you. It's been sitting on my heart all weekend, just reading over it and reading over it. It's from Lamentations 3, verse 22 and forward. So this is what we're being reminded of. This is what we need reminding of. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I say the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will put my hope in him. Let's pray. Will you stand with me and let's pray? Jesus, I thank you so much for this small pause in the journey of your people, where you commanded them very specifically to get stones, not from where they were, but what they were passing over. Because that's ultimately what happens, is that when we walk with you and in your story, and we let you be the king of the story in our life and in the world, you do take us from glory to glory. And you do help us to pass over. They won't have to stay stuck. We don't have to stay locked into anything. We don't have to live the tragedy. So I pray for those that need help reminding. Lord, I ask that you would bring to mind, by the power of your Holy Spirit, things, circumstances, situations, Lord. Let us look at the beauty of your creation, of nature, of love, our children, and all those things, Lord, serve as reminders to how great and wonderful you really are. You are the God that hangs 1,000 suns in the universe. And yet, you are the same God that gives breath into each one of our lungs. Remind us daily, Lord, how we rest and find rest in you. In the name of Jesus, we all pray together. Amen.